Mini episode 1796 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 1796 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with our review of the year in pro wrestling. Here's our five biggest headlines from 2024. Number 5, the bidding war for talent continues. On the AEW side, there was a greater amount of star power coming in. Kaz Okada, Mercedes Moné, Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, MVP, Ricochet, Camille, and Deonna Purrazzo, among others. And that's even if we don't count probably the biggest of them all, Will Ospreay, who technically signed in late 2023 and had made previous guest appearances but debuted on the roster full-time in March. The WWE side is also strong, with Jacob Fatu and the Gorillas of Destiny, Julia, Stephanie Vaquer, Ethan Page, the Motor City Machine Guns, Naomi, Andrade, Eric Rowan, and Bo Dallas, with the Lucha Brothers likely on the way. As is always the case, the most important aspect is bang for the buck, with WWE and their three brands having by far the easiest time of it. More about that in the next note. Number 4. Hopes for an easier 2024 for AEW did not materialize, as the promotion's year peaked early, with Sting's retirement at Revolution, as ratings and attendance issues continue to increase. Tony Khan is facing the same challenges as WWE in previous years and WCW in their late years, namely filling multiple hours of TV a week in a manner that does justice to the talent. For all of the weirdness that comes with the WWE brand split, most of it surrounding the reality that some wrestlers and or titles will always be clearly presented as more important than others, at least there is some order to how everyone is used. Tony is unable to utilize Ring of Honor as a full-fledged supplemental promotion until they have a full-fledged TV show, and even then it will probably be a mostly developmental show, essentially like Rampage but with different branding. For all of the asinine criticism that AEW doesn't tell stories, the lead-up to All In, a successful stadium show, even if it didn't meet the unrealistic gate standards of a year ago, saw sophisticated angles in all of the top programs. The problem with the biggest angles of the year, from the Elite Takeover to the Death Riders Takeover, was that they involved too few of the top baby faces on the other side, who were spread out with a variety of programs. You never saw that with the NWO back in the day. However it happens, AEW needs to figure it out in a very consequential 2025, which will feature a huge PPV Down Under, which has already been downsized from a stadium show, and All In Texas, which will not be downsized from a stadium show. Perception is reality, and if AEW can't at least narrow the perceived canyon-sized gap with WWE, they will only continue to lose ground. Number 3. AEW has their new TV deals mostly locked in, with Dynamite and Collision set to simulcast on Max, and Rampage fading into history. PPVs will now be on Max, and the back TV and PPV catalog will start to migrate there as well. Rumors indicate that Ring of Honor will get a TV show, and Fox may purchase a show named Shockwave for one of their networks. Most importantly, AEW's financial future was secured with the deal, by far the biggest one ever given to a non-WWE company, which probably explains why Eric Bischoff hates them so much. Now it's up to them to make the most of the opportunity. Full disclosure, we love AEW and prefer their style of promoting, and so we wish for the best. Number 2. We're halfway through an epic two-year farewell to legends. The Sting send-off at Revolution is the greatest feel-good farewell in history, honoring every bit of his epic career after a great months-long build-up. Brian Danielson's departure would have followed the exact same blueprint if it ended at All In, but instead it culminated in gruesome fashion at WrestleDream, albeit Danielson will likely be back eventually as a special attraction. Now John Cena will go through an exit that will run the length of the 2025 calendar, possibly setting him up for a record-setting 17th world title reign, and possibly touching back with old rivals like CM Punk, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens. Many of today's biggest stars are also likely to be matched up, including Cody Rhodes, Gunther, Damian Priest, Bron Breakker, and Jacob Fatu. One thing's for sure, Cena will be a part of every big part of the Fed's calendar in 2025. Number 1. The unprecedented boom period for WWE rolls on with no apparent end in sight. Between the huge international and/or stadium shows taking up a huge chunk of each year, the decreased overhead in the TKO juggernaut, and that sweet, sweet TV money, the company is arguably at its all-time peak. It certainly is in the financial sense, and that's the most important metric. Are Reigns and Rhodes as known to the mainstream as Steve Austin, The Rock, The Undertaker, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Roddy Piper, or Ric Flair, for example? That's doubtful, but we are now a society where most things are more siloed, so that may or may not even matter. What does matter is great creative, which Vinnie Mac stubbornly refused to let supplant the drivel that he foisted on the public most of the time since the end of the Attitude Era. In fairness, the start of this boom began a few years back behind some brilliant business decisions, albeit most of them were negotiated by one of Vince's best hires ever, Nick Khan. And the ongoing Bloodline storyline, which has a chance to go down as the most lucrative in the history of the game, did have its roots in VKM's dying days at the helm. But with TKO's emphasis on the bottom line allowing Triple H to have a free hand creatively, because his decisions are paying off on every level, the machine looks to keep rolling along, and there's every chance that the Fed could be even bigger a year from now. Thank you for joining us for this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.